I glanced down at my phone, another 2 alerts from the new Ring doorbell I'd installed last night. Since sundown, the thing's been going off nonstop. Damn, what the hell, man? I picked up my phone from the nightstand and opened the Ring app. Live feed from the Ring showed a huge amount of nothing outside of our front door. I live in a small house in a tidy, quiet neighborhood. There wasn't enough traffic, walking, or driving to explain the constant motion alerts. The screen on my phone showed a well-lit night, my porch, my cars tucked in the driveway, and a bright slice of the moon. I was about to close the app and go to bed when an alert popped up again. Nothing had moved. Absolutely nothing. I gripped the phone a little tighter, that little shake that comes with an adrenaline dump that was making it harder to keep the image steady. My mouth was dry and my chest was tight. I felt watched anxiously, but there was nothing there. But then suddenly, I saw a figure slowly rising from the ground, as if all this time it was crouching right under my doorbell cam. Once the figure stood up on the porch, I realized it was a girl. She had long black hair and her face was looking down, making her large forehead shine in the moonlight.
Excuse me? Do you need anything?
I asked, walking up to the door.
Open the door and let me in, Jerry.
Wait, Kathy, is that you?
My sister calls me Jerry, and I was not expecting her standing outside of my house in the middle of the night like this.
Open the door and let me in, Jerry. My knees are killing me,
she said in a feeble voice without lifting her face. I stretched my hand to the doorknob, and that's when she lifted her face, finally, to the camera.
Yeah, she looked like my sister, but I can guarantee you she was not my sister. Her eyes were bulging out, and her face looked demonic, like she was some skinwalker of some sort. I froze immediately. She spoke again.
What's taking you so long? Open the door for your sister.
I took a pause and then slowly backed away from the door. I dialed my sister, who picked up in a drowsy voice.
Jerry, why are you calling in the middle of the night?
Hearing her sleepy voice, a cold shiver ran down my spine. If my sister is sleeping at her home, then who is this strange girl claiming to be my sister and that looks exactly like her right outside of my door? I turned my head back to the door and then slowly looked at my phone screen. She was still there, waiting for me to open the door. I could feel my legs tremble, but gathering all the courage in my voice, I screamed,
"You're not my sister, and I'm not opening the door."
She smiled wide, hearing my response, then started brushing her fingers on the camera as if she was brushing them on my face. Her bony, long fingers made me nauseous at the sight of them.
"Who are you, and what do you want from me?"
She laughed for 5 seconds straight, and then whispered, bringing her face closest to the camera,
"I just came to tell you that you left your back door unlocked."
I kid you not, after hearing that, I felt like I had a heart attack. And then suddenly the girl disappeared in front of the doorbell cam. I turned my head to my back door, my survival instincts kicked in. I sprinted to my back door, and just when I was about to grab the doorknob, I saw the girl standing right on the other side of the glass. Her smile was pure evil. I tried to lock it, but realized it was already locked. I slowly lifted my panicked face to her and she spoke in a creepy voice.
"You're lucky, Jerry. So damn lucky. Just think what would have happened if you forgot to lock your door."
Then she walked away, disappeared into the darkness of the night. I called the cops and informed them about this woman. They searched the property but found no one. What's even more unsettling is that when I reviewed the camera recordings of the woman, there was nobody in sight. It was just my voice talking to some invisible being. I take it that the camera must have glitched out or something because I know what I saw. The cops surely thought I was drunk or under some influence. No one believes me. But I know it was real. Do you believe me?
When I relocated to a suburb close to Skid Row, many of my friends warned me about the possible dangers lurking in that area. You know, like homeless lunatics, drug addicts, etc. But I was getting a house for myself where the rent was super cheap for obvious reasons, so I decided to go ahead with the deal. I'm a 23-year-old male, working as a manager in Pizza Hut, so I often work odd hours. first few weeks went just fine in the new house. Even though the house was a little old, it was big enough for a bachelor like me. I bought most of the furniture from garage sales, so everything in my life is currently secondhand, like my ex. Most of the days, I just ate pizza for dinner, because we're told to take the leftovers home instead of wasting the food. So the dumpster at the back of my house was piled up with pizza boxes. One night, a huge storm broke out, and I realized I'd forgotten to close the dumpster lid, which means in the morning, all the pizza boxes will be scattered all over my backyard. I quickly got out, packed the empty boxes in the garbage bag, and closed the lid after throwing them in. The wind was howling, and it was gonna start raining anytime soon. As I went to the back gate, I realized I'd locked myself out, leaving the keys inside. The weather was getting worse, and I didn't know what to do. The houses in my neighborhood seemed way too sketchy to ask for help, and that's when it hit me. My front door has a passkey lock system, so I could call the helpline number and ask them to unlock the front door. I made my way back to the front porch, and the rain had started by then. I dialed the helpline number and told them the issue. The operator had asked me to wait for a few minutes while they unlocked my door. I was half drenched already, and the road was completely empty when I noticed somebody standing under the streetlight. I looked attentively and figured out the shape was a woman holding an umbrella, standing in the distance and looking at my house, or rather, at me. I couldn't see her face from afar, but I felt weird seeing her alone, in a storm. She suddenly lifted her arm and waved at me. I waved back, just out of curiosity, and she started coming towards me. She was taking big strides, which resulted in a very creepy way of walking. The hair at the back of my neck stood up, and just then I heard my door alarm deactivate. I quickly jumped inside and immediately locked the door. I kept checking the peephole, but by that time, the rain was so dense I could barely see anything. I remember sleeping on the living room couch that night, because I was so scared of a possible break-in. But the next morning, when I left for work, everything felt normal again. I laughed at myself for suspecting a poor woman as someone dangerous. I mean, probably she was just coming towards me to ask for shelter in that storm. But to still be alert, I installed a doorbell camera. The first two nights after setting up the camera were boring to say the least. And then on the third night, hell broke loose. I came home late that night, and as usual, the weather was bad. I got in and took a warm shower. I sat in front of the TV with some pizza slices and cans of beer. I must have dozed off from the tiredness and beers, so it took almost three consecutive rings of my doorbell for me to realize someone was outside my door. I got up, turned on the screen of the Ring cam, and the woman was standing outside my door. She had the same umbrella from that night, and this time I could see her complete face. And she just sat there, her eyes wide open, her mouth agape like a silent scream. I have never seen anyone looking like this before. She was not saying anything, just keeping her jaw wide open and hollow, constantly ringing my doorbell. What do you want? I asked. She stopped and stood still. Even though she was looking at the camera, it felt like she was looking into my soul. She then waved at me again and started banging her head on my door. Hey, stop! What's wrong with you? I screamed, but she didn't care. Just kept banging her head on my door until lightning struck in the distance, roaring with thunder. She stopped and looked at the sky, looked back at the empty road, and then looked back at me. I could see her head bruised from the banging. Her mouth was open the entire time like she forgot how to close it. She put her thumb in her mouth and started walking away like a toddler while sucking on it. A while later, and I'm still living in the same house, and thank God I haven't seen her since.
The sun was just going down as my aunt and I pulled up to my new apartment.
Are you sure you'll be all right on your own?
She asked me, with a concerned look on her face. I tried my best to comfort her.
I'll be all right, don't worry.
After stepping out of the car and walking towards my first apartment, I gave her one last glance and waved her the final goodbye. The apartment was small, but it was mine, and I'm happy with what I got. After spending the whole day moving, I figured it would be a good time to get something to eat, so I prepared a sandwich and sat down by the TV. I had only taken about 2 to 3 bites of it when I heard a knock on my door. Upon opening the door, I was met with a tall, lean man wearing a black trench coat and a weird smile. His eyes were still like a dead fish, and at first glance, he almost spooked me.
"You must be my new neighbor,"
he said to me, speaking in a creepy, squeaky voice. I guess I am.
Good. I won't be lonely anymore.
He didn't blink while he said this, and that creeped me out even more.
I smiled again, not being able to come up with anything to say. He didn't say anything either, but just kept staring at me with that fixated smile. Okay, I guess I'll see you then. I started to close the door, but suddenly he placed his hand on the door, almost like a reflex, and stopped me.
How about you come to my place for dinner?
He demanded. Actually, I just made myself a sandwich, so some other time. Good night. I closed the door without waiting for his reply. I know it was rude, but the dude was really creeping me out. After closing the door, I waited to hear his footsteps fade away, but it was total silence on the other side. So I peeked from the peephole, and this is when things started getting weird. He was still standing outside my door with that same smiling face. A few seconds later, he looked up at the peephole like he knew I was watching him. All he said was,
"Good night then,"
and then walked away. What a creepy guy, I thought to myself. My aunt called me later on in the evening, just to wonder how I was settling in, and I shared the story about the creepy neighbor. She sounded concerned, but then advised me to install a doorbell camera on my door. I thought it was a good idea, so the next day I hired an electrician and installed the camera just like my aunt suggested. I also asked the landlord about this man. He said that the guy's name is Richard. Last month he lost his wife to cancer, and since then he's been a little too pushy with conversations. Many other tenants have complained about Richard randomly appearing at their apartment and inviting them over for dinner. I felt bad knowing this, because even if he was being weird, all he wanted was some company so he can fill the void that his wife left him in. So I decided to bake him a cake as an apology. His apartment was right under mine, so I walked up to his door with a plum cake and I raised my hand to knock. He immediately opened his door.
"Oh, hi. I didn't know you were coming to see me."
He replied with a chuckle. I was taken aback by this and asked, "Were you just waiting by the door?"
"No, I heard your footsteps. It's so quiet in my apartment that I can hear almost every sound,"
he replied. "I see. So about the other day, I didn't mean to be rude, so I baked you this cake as an apology. The landlord told me about your wife, and I..."
"Are you feeling sorry for me?"
Richard's smiling face suddenly changed to an angry one. No, I just thought..." He didn't let me finish.
"Well, if you suddenly decide to be nicer because you feel sorry for me, then shove that cake into you know where."
Saying this, he slammed the door in my face, and I stood like a dumb idiot, not being able to channel what the frick just happened. What went wrong with this dude? I made my way back to my apartment and decided to stay away from that nut job. I wanted nothing to do with him, because I felt like even if I tried to be nice, he'd still take it the wrong way. I was cooking dinner when I heard a knock on my door. The doorbell camera was activated, so I could see on the screen, and to my horror, it was Richard again, standing outside my door with that same stretchy smile.
"Open the door!"
he screamed, while keeping the same smile intact.
"Go away, or I'm calling the cops!"
I yelled back. That's when the kick started. He went on a full-on rampage. It sounded like shotgun blasts as he was kicking it so hard while banging on it with his fists. The sound was so loud that the other tenants came out from their apartments. The landlord too came up and they took Richard away while he showered obscenities at me. The cops were called and thank God I had the camera footage to my defense. Richard was taken into custody for property damage and the landlord never took him back. I lived in that building for 3 more years, and with the slightest knock in the middle of the night, I would jump from my bed thinking he was back, but gladly, he wasn't. Here is the real footage on which this story is loosely based on.
I used to study at a boarding school that was in a remote location close to the woods near a serene mountain valley. Now generally, schools like these always come with haunted stories, but ours had none. It was just an ordinary boarding school with people from around the world studying together. My favorite teacher was our geography teacher, Miss Melanie, because she used to conduct a lot of field trips for our practical classes. And since we could hardly go out of the school campus, everyone waited for these field trips. So this one time, Miss Melanie announced in the front of the class that we'd be heading to a dam located in the woods for our upcoming field trip. The next morning, when we all gathered at the school grounds to leave for our trip, it started raining lightly. We slid into our raincoats and started to hike to the dam. It was just my first time hiking in the woods, and I was feeling awe and shudder at the same time. The sound of woods mixed with our footsteps hitting the soggy grass bed underneath echoed all over the woods. After 30 minutes, we reached the dam. It was an old dam, built around the Second World War. Miss Melanie started explaining how this dam was the first resource of this valley's power supply. I was listening to her and clicking pictures with my camera at the same time when I saw Ruthie standing under a big tree and looking up at its highest branch. Her face was contorted with fear. Her eyes were wide with drops of sweat on her forehead. She was trembling like something up in that tree had scared the crap out of her. "Hey, you all right? Is something up there?" I say, looking over at Ruthie. "Well, why is she looking at me like that?" Ruthie says in a terrified voice. I followed Ruthie's eyes, but all I could see was the barren tree branch. Suddenly, I heard Miss Melanie scream, and I looked beside me. I found Ruthie unconscious on the ground. We came back, and Ruthie was taken to the medical room. Later, the teachers informed me that Ruthie probably just spooked herself in those woods. The next day, Ruthie came back to class, but something about her was different. She became extremely quiet and stared outside the window during class. We were leaving for the cafeteria during recess when I saw Ruthie scribbling something in her notebook. "Ruthie, don't you want to go out for some lunch?" I decided to ask her. She didn't pay any attention to me, just kept scribbling. I leaned closer to her to see what she was doing, and what I saw gave me goosebumps to say the least. Her eyelids and the skin around bright red, while her eyes black as an abyss. Her mouth widely stretched to her chin. "What the hell? Who is that, Ruthie?" And that's when Ruthie looked at me. A creepy grin appeared on her face, and she started laughing hysterically. "Ruthie, are you okay? Someone, come help!" I screamed to the top of my lungs, and all of our classmates rushed back to the class. They all noticed Ruthie laughing like a maniac while rocking her body back and forth. She started punching the desk while continuing this crazy feat. We were so scared and shocked that we almost forgot to call our teachers. But soon chaos unfolded, and the teachers came to intervene in the matter. They tried to take Ruthie to the medical room, but she began throwing kicks and punches. She even started screaming and rambling,
"You're all gonna die. Yes, die, die, die."
It was something straight out of a horror movie. Never in my life had I expected one of my friends to behave like that. With a lot of difficulty, the teachers carried Ruthie out to the balcony. Everyone on school grounds froze in fear and watched Ruthie's madness. She was spitting at the teachers and kicking in the air while screaming, "Death is near! She's coming to get you!" And then suddenly she stopped. Her eyes rolled in like she was having a seizure and she could hardly breathe. A gagging sound came out of her mouth and she fainted once again. But just then, as chaos broke out in the school ground, one by one, girls started fainting on the grounds. Everyone began running, not knowing what was happening to the students of the school. The teachers were numb because not every day you witness 12 girls collapse on the ground in random order. Ruthie and all those girls were taken to the hospital down the valley. Our parents were called to come and pick us up from school immediately. The principal closed the school for the next 3 months until the trusted committee came to a decision regarding these mysterious incidents. 3 months later, when we all went back, things started to get normal again. But Ruthie's parents took her away, and I still don't know exactly what she saw in those words that made her react that way. I just hope she's doing well wherever she is. The town of Lambertville was a great place to grow up, especially in the 80s. At least that's what I heard from my dad. Last year, I flew back to New Jersey from the UK to attend my high school reunion. I met my old friends, and we had a ball at the reunion party. We recalled memories from childhood of how we used to explore the town after sundown. My buddy Fred mentioned how we feared to step inside Lambertville High, even in daylight back in those days. I laughed and said, "It's because Matt's uncle scared us with that spooky story." Matt finished his last drink and said in a drowsy voice, "It wasn't some story. It was a true incident." Yeah, right. My dad used to say that too. And maybe it did happen, but there's no reason to believe that the dead guy's ghost is still out there," Fred replied sarcastically. Matt laughed and said, "Wanna go check it out now? We're not kids anymore." I could see the booze talking, so I tried to stop this idea before it turned into a Ghostbuster mission, but I guess it was too late. Fina, let's go. Fred got up, and the next thing we knew, we were in Matt's car driving up the hill in the middle of the night. Lambertville High was located on a hilltop overlooking the town. After a fire broke out, the school turned into a famous abandoned site with a lot of ghost stories surrounding it. But among all those ghost stories, one stood out in particular. The story of a student who died on the school grounds during a rugby match. People said his head almost turned completely around. When we reached the outside of the burnt down building, a feeling of dread took over me. The crickets chirping eerily, and the weather up here was too cold. Matt parked his car, and we entered the school, which once used to be the talk of the town. The dirty, ragged hallways creaked with each step. Mice were running all over the floor, and cobwebs covered the ceiling like a blanket. "Dude, this place smells like my grandma's feet," I scoffed in disgust. "My uncle never told me the boy's name. His parents left the town after his death," Matt said, while looking around the ruins of the classroom. "Yeah, must have been pretty traumatic for them. Where did he die again?" Fred asked. Matt pointed out the end of the hallway that opened up to the field. As we came out those barely hanging back doors, we could see the old broken staircases leading to the field. It was a chilly winter night, and dense fog had started to take over the vast field. Uneven grass and weeds have blurred the boundary lines. "How about we go for a walk?" Fred smirked. "Don't be crazy," I immediately responded. "Why? You scared?" Matt said, while lighting a smoke. "I don't care about any ghosts, but there could be snakes or other insects." I gulped. "It's winter, silly. Snakes don't come out in winter, so shut up and follow me." Before I could counter, Matt and Fred set out to the field. They were jogging like it was their backyard. I was behind them, still feeling awful about this entire adventure. A few seconds later, Fred started his stupid howls in mockery. "Yo, dead boy, won't you come and tackle us now? Come play with us, buddy." I could see Fred's drunken state overpowering his rationality. Even if there was no ghost, still, making fun of someone's tragedy didn't seem kind to me. But suddenly, the wind grew rusty. I could hear Matt screaming, "Fred, let's go back. I think there's gonna be a storm." The fog got so thick I could barely figure out my friends. And that's when I saw them, a pair of red eyes glowing from the distance, staring right at me. I started calling out to my friends when Matt came running towards me at full speed. He was grabbing the hair off his head and screaming for help. His face had a sheer look of terror. "Matt? Where's Fred?" Matt didn't answer my question. Instead, he only said,
"He has him. He has him."
And then disappeared into the fog. I turned on my flashlight and went to the same direction where Matt came. I wanted to find Fred no matter what. After walking for 5 to 6 minutes, I finally spotted Fred. He was lying on the ground, but he was not alone. A boy dressed in a rugby costume was sitting beside him, leaning over his unconscious face. I opened my mouth and a small whisper came out, Fred? Just then, the rugby player's head turned 180 degrees. I kid you not, his head turned completely backwards like that scene from The Exorcist, and I could only see his red eyes glowing inside the helmet. All I remember is my vision blurring and my head hitting the grass. I woke up in the hospital after 3 days. I had a concussion, whereas Fred was found dead. The doctor said he had a heart attack from sudden shock. Matt never came home until today. I have no idea if everything that happened that night was real or some drunken hallucination. I don't think I can keep going to school anymore. That place terrorizes me. It's all because of Mr. Lerman. He's our history teacher, and God, he's weird as crap. His eyes are bulged and red all the time, making him look like a stoner. His teeth are uneven, and he has a long neck like a giraffe. What's even more weird is his voice. When he speaks, it's like something else speaking from inside of him. Deep down, I believe he's hiding a terrible secret. I was walking past the teacher's room one day when I saw Mr. Lerman looking at a cat sitting on the window pane. He had a creepy grin on his face and even licked his lips like the cat was some delicious meal. That's when I noticed how big his fangs are.
It almost reminded me of the pit bull our neighbor has. But just then, he turned his face towards me, and I quickly ran away in fear. Since that moment, Mr. Lerman has always watched me during his class. A cold tension was piling up between us. I don't know if he sensed my suspicious behavior around him, but one thing was sure. That dude isn't what he seems. Last Saturday, my best friend and I got detention for pulling a prank on the janitor. Our principal, Riley, held us after school to clean the library and arrange the bookshelves. Carter and I have been friends from kindergarten, so we're more like brothers. I was putting the chemistry books under the science sections when Carter called out to me. "Whoa, dude, Lerman used to be a student here." Hearing this, I rushed towards him, saw him going through an old yearbook of the year 1985. "Where did you find this?" I asked. "Down that corner shelf. It's odd," Carter said with a frown. "What do you mean?" "Lerman used to look so normal back then." I leaned over to see the picture Carter was pointing at, and to my surprise, he was right. Lerman did look like a normal guy. He still had that high school boy charm in that picture. "I think he went through some really bad plastic surgery," Carter scoffed with a chuckle. "Let's get back to work." Saying this, I picked up some more books to put on the shelf when we heard footsteps on the corridor outside. Who could it be at this hour? Probably the janitor. Now, Carter is what you called an overly curious fellow. He went to the library exit and peeked outside.
"Talk of the devil,"
he whispered. I too went to check, and to my shock, it was Mr. Lerman. He had a dusty sack in his hand and was going towards the teacher room.
"What is he doing here after school?"
"Let's follow him," Carter said. Before I could protest, Carter stepped into the corridor. I obviously accompanied him, even though everything about his plan screamed danger. We stopped outside the teacher's room and carefully peeked in. Mr. Lerman was standing still while that sack lay on the ground. Something inside that sack was whimpering. You know, the kind of sound that newborns make.
"What the hell is in it?"
I whispered.
"Shh, keep quiet,"
Carter responded. What happened next was not something we saw coming. Mr. Lerman picked up a baseball bat from the corner and started beating the sack. With every strike, the sack slowly turned red. After 4 to 5 strikes, whatever was in that sack had gone completely quiet. Mr. Lerman then swooped down and opened the sack just enough to insert his hand in. And he started taking out chunks of something red in color with liquid dripping from it, kind of like a red velvet cake gone bad, and started gulping it like a hungry wolf. As he ate from the sack, we could see his eyes look back to his head with a sinister joy.
"Oh my god, what is he eating?"
Carter whispered in disgust. "I don't think we should be here, man." As soon as I said this, Mr. Lerman started to cough. Something was choking him. He gagged and gargled, and then he spit out a furball, a gray furball with sprinkles of minced meat on it.
"Bloody hell, it's that cat!"
I yelled in horror, and Mr. Lerman turned his face towards us. I've never seen a face like that. His teeth were all stained red, and his eyes burnt like a flaming coal. He made a creepy meow sound and smiled at us. The next thing I remember was me and Carter running for our lives. I've missed school faking stomach aches for 3 days straight, but my mom is determined to send me back to school tomorrow. The only thing that's bothering me right now is what will happen when I face Mr. Lerman again.